Lahiel was a great blessing. I met him a couple years ago when he was just coming through with a couple of his children, but then Amy and I got to spend time with he and his wife and their kids, and so they're all a blessing, and I hope that you will get to meet them afterwards in the lobby. But Brother Jody, our pastor before me, the Hills had just come through on a Sunday morning and just introduced themselves briefly, and Brother Jody felt led to take them on, so we've been supporting them now for some years, and so they're a wonderful, wonderful investment of our mission dollar, just getting the work done down there, as you can see from the video footage, about doing the same thing that needs to be done everywhere, and that's just going finding people, little ones, big ones, wherever they go. And he goes up in the mountains, as he mentioned there, just reaching people with the gospel. And so it's a blessing to get to invest in that, and I'm so thankful that our church can get behind the Hill family. So I'm going to ask Brother Josh to come on up, and he's going to say anything else he wants to about his family, but he's also going to preach to us, and then just give us what the Lord has for us tonight, and I'm looking forward to all of it. So, Brother, thank you again for being at Buffalo Ridge. It's a joy to have you.
Thank you, preacher. Amen. Well, I say glory be to God. Amen. And thank you, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, for your faithfulness in giving. And we thank the Lord for your support. 7 years now, I was looking on our support charts, and 7 years now the church has supported us faithfully and has even given to a couple of special needs. And I appreciate that, and we're thankful. And we know that we're putting fruit on your account, and one day over in heaven, it'll all be put forth. Amen. And I thank you for that. I do want to say just a couple things. If you want to go ahead and go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And I do want to say the Lord is blessed in our building. As you saw there, we're about 20% of what we need to build, and we give God the glory for that. We're praying that God will allow us to build sometime in the next year, 2 years, or whenever it may be, amen. But we desire to build, and as we said there, we've been waiting patiently, and we know the Lord in His time will meet that need. And then also, I wanted just to mention very briefly, we have some paintings back there on our table. And that is from a young man in our church. He's like a Timothy to me, and his name's Pablo. And Pablo, back when we first started the church, his mother brought him a flyer for our first church service. We had a pinata. In Guatemala, you don't do anything big without a pinata. Amen? And so his mom found one on the side of the road somebody had thrown down, and she took it and said, y'all need to go to this little, you know, church opening service, and they're going to have a pinata and all that. And so they lost the flyer. And Brother Pablo told me that they were just all, didn't know what to do. You know, they wanted to come. And him and his two sisters decided to go and to try to find another flyer. And Brother Pablo, he lives on a second story of a little tienda, little store. And when he went to the bottom of his steps, you won't believe this, or you might if you have faith, amen. When he opened his door, there was one of those flyers right at the bottom of his steps. He took that flyer. It had, you know, had water on it, so it was beaten up. But he got the directions, and they went and tried to find their church as best they could, and they found it. Got there late, amen. And about 2 years ago, Pablo and his family have been faithful to the church now. And about 2 years ago, though, Pablo been sitting in on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and seeing God save some of his family. He sent me a text message about 4 a.m. And does anybody like to be woke up at 4 a.m. with a text message? Okay. And so, but he said, preacher, he said, I need to talk to you. He said, I need to be saved. And that afternoon, Brother Pablo bowed his head and asked Jesus to save him. Amen. And 2 months after that, Brother Pablo, his dad, passed away tragically. And he was very close to his dad, worked in the fields with him. Pablo dropped out of school when he was in the third grade, and so no education, just a hard worker. And one day I was at his house and saw a bunch of paintings on the wall, and I asked him, I said, who did all these paintings? They're amazing. And Pablo raised his hand. He said, I did them, you know, and a big smile on his face. I said, Paul, these are incredible. And I said, where did you learn? And he said, I just picked up a paintbrush and a pencil one day and started drawing. And I introduced him to Bob Ross. Amen. And I said, you need to watch Bob Ross on YouTube, and you need to get, you know, take some lessons and watch how he does it. And happy little trees, you know. And I tried to explain that to him, and he did not understand arbolitos pequeñitos, you know. And he was like, what? And I said, never mind, just don't worry about it. I said, but, I said, you know, and he sure enough, about a week later, he came to me with about a 20 by 30 canvas of one of the most beautiful pictures of mountains. And I said, I mean, how did you do this? And he told me, he said, I just did it. And it sparked a little fire in me. I said, Pablo, you have a talent that could be used greatly. And I said, for your life, for a job. And so our goal, where we're at in Guatemala, we're close to Antigua, which is a very big tourist attraction area in Guatemala. Matter of fact, Norwegian Cruise Lines actually stops in Guatemala, and they get off and take a 60-mile bumpy ride into Antigua. And so a lot of tourists. And I said, Brother Paul, if you can learn to paint and you can get this down, you can have a job where you'll never have to sweat and, I mean, kill yourself, and you can live and you can eat and you can live off more than just tortillas and rice, and you can have a good life. And he was excited. He said, preacher, he said, are you serious? I said, yes. And so we're actually, those paintings there, everything that we receive, he painted those, and he forgot to put his name on them and sign them, but we're actually, all the money we receive for those goes to Pablo's painting classes. We told him it would be good for him to at least take some basic technique classes. And so y'all please help us. If you feel like the Lord will have you buy one of those paintings, then all of that money goes to Brother Pablo. Amen. And I appreciate him. He's a blessing to me. And one day in heaven, you'll be able to meet him. And he's got a big old smile. And so I know we'll find him over there. Amen. So do pray about that. And like I said, church, thank you so much for your faithfulness and giving. And it is a blessing to our family. Thank you, preacher, for lunch today, amen. And it took a seat at a good Mexican restaurant. And pretty a lot of times, preachers, well, we don't want to take you to Mexican because you eat that all the time. And I'm like, well, first off, we're in Guatemala. He didn't say that, amen. But a lot of preachers do. A lot of pastors do. And we're not in Mexico. And even if we were, that ain't what they eat in Mexico, amen. It's a Tex-Mex, amen. So, but we appreciate that. And now let me just say this. The prophet's chamber, the parsonage, I guess is their correct term, is absolutely amazing. Every dollar you invested into that was worth it. And I promise you, every missionary, evangelist, every intern that'll stay in that place will be absolutely in heaven. I mean, it's wonderful. I told somebody this morning, everything to the bed, to the towels, amen. And it's just good. I got there yesterday after driving up, and I lay down on the bed, and I mean, it smelled good. I don't know. I'm just, y'all forgive me. I'm from the valleys of Tennessee, amen. And so, y'all from the mountains, I'm from the valleys. So, but I mean, I've never just sat on a bed and just smelled. Yeah, I'm weird. But anyways, missionaries, right? Amen. And so, I'll blame it on that, I guess. But Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, thank you, church. We appreciate it. Thank you for all that you've done. And I know that there's a game going on right now, and but we ain't here for no game, amen. And I don't care who wins, because I don't care about either one of those teams, amen. And so, I'm just a college guy. I don't, you know, all this professional. When they start getting paid to play sports, you know, that's a little overrated. And so I like college sports. And if you saw in the video, I'm repping Tennessee in Quiche, amen. And so there's a couple orange shirts there, and I promise you they got a T on them, amen. And so anyways, Acts chapter 1, and let me get there real quick and stop talking. I'm trying to get these nerves out, and this is one of the biggest churches that support us. And I think we got three churches that are over 150 people, and this one's, yeah, it's big, amen. And so you get nervous, but if those young ladies can get up here and sing as good as they did, then I reckon the Lord will help me too, amen. Or it'll be a flop, and we'll all go home and watch, you know, sports, amen. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says here, very familiar scripture, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Very quickly tonight, I want to preach on this thought, the master's plan. the master's plan. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your grace, your goodness to us. And Lord, we sure don't deserve it, but God, we thank you for bringing this place tonight. Thank you for this church. Pray that you bless us now in the preaching time, Lord. God, that you help us, and Lord, we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture here, I want to real quickly look at it in a prophetic way. About 2 years ago, a good friend of mine, preacher friend of mine, showed me something that I'd never seen before. And it really just kind of, it wasn't one of those things where it helped me spiritually. It was just one of those things that kind of made me think, what a blessing. Real quickly, let's go to the book of Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and when we look at the Great Commission, as we would call it here, we see a command or see a plan, as we called it, the master's plan given to the disciples. Now, very quickly, we know that there are no more 12 disciples. Amen. They are gone, but there's a whole bunch of Christians. Amen. And that is the task given to us now, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. There's a very important phrase there: when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we see that in Acts chapter 2, 4, the men received the gift of the Holy Ghost and were able to go forth and to accomplish this great commission. But very quickly, if I was to ask you this question tonight, has this world at one time, has there been a time, let me rephrase it, has there been a time where every single creature heard the gospel? We ask ourselves when we think, oh no, it's just never happened. I believe the Bible teaches something here. Romans chapter 10, verse 18, we see that very quickly. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Now, what is their sound? Their sound was not their opinion. Their sound was not some man-made theology. But we find there in verse number 17 that the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so their sound is none other than the word of God. Amen. And so we see that. But not only, let's go over to Colossians real quickly. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says here, which is come unto you, what is that? Verse 5, let's read that. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringing forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. And then once again in verse 23, and I think this is the verse that tells it all. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, in which was, that's past tense, amen. I ain't very smart in English, but I know that, amen, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. So according to the word of God, there was a time where every creature heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And thank God for that. But here we are. In 2024, our world has reached over 8 billion people. That's a number that us rednecks cannot even fathom. Amen. I mean, it's a very big number, 8 billion people. And so when we think of that, we might think to ourselves, if they did it, well, it's probably because there were fewer people and, you know, and all these, you know, these disciples were, you know, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and this and that. But I believe with all my heart, the job is still able to be done. Because Acts 1:8 said it would be. Very quickly, I want to give the master's plan here. And I want to say, and I hope you understand me tonight, that I believe, and I believe the greatest reason that we as the church and talking about individual believers and have not reached the 8 billion people on the face of this earth with the gospel is because of one reason. It is the lack of spirit-filled living. I believe that with all my heart. Tonight, when we think of a plan, We think of a plan maybe in a sports plan. We think about right now it's basketball season. We know that. And just a week ago, Tennessee put together a pretty good plan, and they went up to Lexington and defeated the Kentucky Wildcats in basketball. Why? Because the coach put together a plan, and the players executed that plan in a way they would get victory, right? We think about this in the sense of maybe construction workers. We understand in construction there is an architect, an engineer, and they put forth the plans, and then the Spanish people, right? Amen. They come in and they build everything. And when they follow the plans, the job is done, the building is built, and it is a beautiful place. It's the same way in the army, military. There is a general, and he sets forth a plan. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. Yes, sir. They go and they get the job done. There's victory because they followed the plan. And tonight we have been given a plan by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself on how to get this job done. And can I say to you tonight, church, if we will follow what the Lord Jesus Christ said, I believe with all my heart that we can see this world reached with the gospel. Amen. So we find that here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We'll look at it very quickly. Just 2 points here. Amen. 2 long points. It says here, but ye shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, I want to say this that we see first here. We see the ability that is supplied. Can I say this? When God calls, God enables. Amen. We read this verse and we can kind of, we understand English, amen. So it says, but you shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So we see the source is the Holy Spirit. It was when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then that is when they would be able to go forth and to preach and to teach the gospel. This evening, I want to say I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now listen, we ain't going to worship the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're not going to dance around and give the Holy Spirit glory for anything. But I do want to thank God for the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that when Jesus left, he said there would come one after him and be the comforter. And he would teach us and help us understand every truth that we would ever need to know. And I say this tonight, the Bible says in John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. It says in John 16, 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit this morning. He teaches that. Listen, I thank God for our preachers and our pastors, our evangelists, our missionaries. I thank God for our Sunday school teachers. I thank God for those Christian leaders. But can I say this this evening to tonight, when you're at home in your personal Bible study, hey, to learn the Word of God, you don't need a commentator. You don't need a pastor there to lead you. You have everything you need in the Holy Spirit of God to teach you what you need to know. I'm glad God uses the preachers and pastors. Amen. If not, we wouldn't have a salary. It's a joke. Amen. But anyways, I do thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit that teaches us what we need to know. And so we see the source of the ability, but then we see the strength and the ability. Power, it says. What is that? But ye shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Can I say, to fulfill this great commission, to fulfill this great command, this great plan, the Lord knew it would take strength and power and ability to serve the living Christ. Amen. But the power, I believe, comes to help us in our daily walk with God. Think of Galatians chapter 5. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, a lot of times, and I believe it applies, we apply these verses to when we're going through storms and trials and problems that we can say, and I'm glad He is there to comfort us and to love us and to give us peace and to give us joy in those trials. But could it be also that the Holy Spirit, when we are out there trying to fulfill this great commission, He must go with us? Think about it. The Lord had walked upon the face of this earth, and His disciples had followed Him. His disciples had seen the hardships, and they knew when He was here, He was going to take care of it all. But now He's gone. How will we ever get through these hardships without Christ, with the Holy Spirit? He knew the hardships, the difficulties in learning another language. Amen. But the Holy Spirit knew, I will teach you and I will help you and I will give you understanding of these things that you will need help in. I encouraged the singles this morning before I even knew it that somebody needs to learn Spanish. I said, y'all ain't got a husband, you ain't got kids, some of y'all studying, some of you work, but that's it. Your mind's young, learn a different language, and Spanish would be a good one to start at. And then I find out you'll have a Spanish ministry and need a pastor. It was like the Lord was talking to somebody in the singles department this morning. Amen. I don't know, maybe so. But you say, well, I can't learn another language. I'm too old, or I'm too ignorant, or I can't comprehend. Can I say the Holy Spirit can help you to learn what you need to learn to fulfill the Great Commission? He knew there would be hardships. He knew there would be attitudes of laziness. Amen. Isn't it amazing how the Lord knows us? I mean, think about those Saturdays and days that y'all have visitation or those days where you're supposed to be a soul winner, but you're just lazy today. Well, you know, I'm just tired. Life's been hard and, you know, I've been working all week and, you know, this situation I got, I know young people, I got homework and I got to study and I got this and I got that. And we don't get lazy necessarily in our work with our hands or work in our studies, but we get lazy on God. Amen. We begin to think, well, we'll let the church leaders take care of all that. I say this evening, you as a child of God have been given this task as well. You look before you and you see a missionary. I look before you and I see a bunch of missionaries. Amen. The missionary's here. Wow, what a blessing. Look at his display. Look at his prayer cards. Look at his video. I say, look at the missionaries. Look at the potential that God has at Buffalo Bridge Baptist Church. You may not have a table, you may not have prayer cards, you may not be out there raising support, but you are here in your place and in your area, in your county, preaching and reaching with the gospel. He knew there'd be attitudes of laziness. He knew there'd be anger and frustration. You know, it takes the Holy Spirit. When we go into some of these homes and we sit down to eat with them, and man, you don't even know what they put in front of you. I mean, you just don't even know, amen. You sit down and you think, man, it's either dog or chicken. Amen. But you eat it. And I believe a lot of times the Holy Spirit helps you eat it, amen. I believe a lot of times He makes that chicken taste, or that maybe a dog, I don't know, taste good, amen. I remember one time we was at a lady's house, and she had chicken and put it in the soup. It was chicken on a bone, and she put it in the soup, and when I pulled it out, it still had a feather on it. I thought, man, that's sick. There ain't nothing right that about that normal, amen? I mean, I ain't from the city, but, I mean, that just ain't normal. And some of y'all will be like, I just pluck the feather off and keep eating. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you grew up on a farm. I didn't. But the Holy Spirit is what helps us. And you know what the Holy Spirit will do to you? When that cheeseburger don't come out right and you want to throw it in the waiter's face, or you want to sit there and complain and let on and let all your frustration, you know the Holy Spirit will just, they need the gospel. Oh yeah, friend. Hey, when that person cuts you off on the interstate and you want to show them how much your V6 can go, amen, and you want to blow your end trying to get up caught with them, flash your lights, and I mean, just have a hissy fit, you know, the Holy Spirit will remind you, but hey, they're lost. And you do that, they ain't going to ever listen to you. The Holy Spirit will help us with those. He'll help us when we're frustrated with family that just won't listen. Every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, every birthday party, every time you see those cousins, those uncles, and those aunts, and you try to share the gospel with them, and they reject you, and they laugh at you, and they call you crazy. They say you're part of a cult. Everything that you can think of, they call you names. And I mean, you're hurt and you're frustrated. It's the Holy Spirit that will help you to keep loving them. This world casts you to the side. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us that joy and peace and long-suffering. He knew there'd be apathy. He knew there'd be days when you didn't even want to get up and be identified as a Christian. Amen. He knew there'd be days when you just didn't even want to face the day. And you're so cold at God, so eat up with carnality. He knew. And that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, to give us temperance, meekness. I believe with all my heart, that's why the Lord said, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now we know that when we are saved, in the moment we are born again into the family of God, that we receive the Holy Spirit. We know that. But there is a command in Ephesians 5, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. And that tells me if I can be filled, then there's days I can be empty. There's days I can be lacking. There's days where I can be half full, or as you know, the negative people would say, half empty, amen. There's days that, and so that is why the Lord says, before you hand a gospel tract to somebody, before you take on another missionary, hey, before you help a need, before you do anything, you make sure you're filled with the Holy Ghost. It's sad to see that I've heard from multiple pastors have told us since we've been here. They remember a day when missionaries would call, and you'd come in your office and there'd be 10, 15 calls from missionaries. And I've heard countless preachers say it, that they sometimes now go 1-2 weeks and get one call from a missionary. Something's happening. And I don't think it's missionaries are picking up a lot of support very quickly. I think there's fewer and fewer surrendering to the will of God to leave it all behind, to go somewhere they've never known, to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not necessarily because they're bad people. It's not necessarily because they're in sin. I believe it's for one reason. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Telling them and hearing them to go and to hear the call, hear the Macedonian call, go and preach the gospel. We're so filled with the things of this world. We're so filled with 2024, who's going to be our next president, who's going to be our next, and I pray to God it is not who's in there now, amen. Inflation's already affected us enough in Guatemala. I don't want to see it no more. It's awful. But you know what? If he does get in, I don't want to say win, but if he, whatever you call it, gets stuck in there again, you know what? I look at it, there's just more need. For a while, I remember hearing preachers say this to us, and it's a shame, but for preachers say, you know, I'm glad you got that call for Spanish people. They say that. I'm glad you got that call for Spanish people. My God, just Spanish? I mean, it's just the language the Lord's helped me to learn, but I got a command to go to every creature. But man, that's your burden. That's your heart as Spanish people. Our heart and our burden must not be one particular race or people or nation or tribe. Our heart and our burden must be the lost soul of man. Whether they're white or black or brown or yellow, whatever, as the song says, red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. We sing it in Sunday school, but yet we stop practicing out in the field. Oh, God, help us. Where is the call tonight? They're lost. These men were preaching and going forth and spreading the gospel. But you don't ever find no results until Acts chapter 2. Oh, Peter's up there preaching. And he'd been preaching the same thing. This time, there was just something different. This time, those words were going forth and piercing the souls of man like darts. And before Peter knew it, he stood back and 3,000 people got saved. Imagine Peter. He's thinking, man, what in the world happened? I've been preaching and all of a sudden, now it's working. Because the Holy Spirit is the one doing the job. Can I say this church, whatever you do for missions, you must do as the Holy Spirit leads you. Or it'll fail. Amen. You try to do anything without being led of the Holy Spirit, it'll fail. Amen. I promise you, church, if you will get filled with the Holy Ghost, I promise you, brother, sister, if you'll just get filled, you say, well, I can't talk to people. I'm backwards. I'm crooked. I can't talk right. I can't talk good with people, and I'm shy and all these things. That is where the Holy Spirit can take the most shy, timid person, and put a voice inside of them, hey, to shake the worlds with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, if that person's willing to say, Lord, take me, use me for your glory. I can't explain. You look and you see a missionary, but I look in the mirror and I know where I was. Oh, I hated God, hated the things of God, hated the church, hated the Christians, hated the Bible. I was a God-denying as a teenager. Broken homes and abuse and drugs and alcohol and pills and all the wicked things of this world. I know what I said about Jesus. I know how wicked I was. I know how dumb and ignorant. I'm not saying it to be funny, but I know how dumb and ignorant I am. But you can never in a million years convince me that God can take whoever He wants to, as long as they're willing to say, Lord, use me. And I promise you, God can do so much more than you could ever do in and of your own power. You say, well, I'm older. God can still work. So I'm just a child. God can still work. Well, I'm single. I don't have a husband or I don't have a wife. And God can still use you. You just have to be willing. It is about the consecrated, crucified life. The ability that is supplied. Tonight, the Great Commission. I don't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ would have ever asked us to do something that He knew that we wouldn't be able to do. Amen. We see the agenda here that is set. I'll be done. Christ described their service, the participators in this agenda. It says ye. Can I just say this tonight? You're either a missionary or mission field. Stop lying to yourself. Stop telling yourself you can't do it. Well, you can't. So don't stop telling yourself that. But stop telling yourself God can't use somebody like you. God can. I promise you, if God can use somebody like me, God can use somebody like you. You look and you say, well, man, you're a missionary, man. You get to serve God and live on the foreign field. You get to go into the mountains. You get to see all these beautiful things. And no one. So Jim Elliot said that missionaries are very human folks, just doing what they are asked. Simply a bunch of nobodies trying to exalt somebody. We ain't down there trying to start the Josh Hill cult. That'd fail in a day. Hey, I promise you that. We ain't down there trying to build an empire. I'll be honest with you. I've told our people multiple times, if our church never gets to 100 because we're raising them up, training them, and sending them out, I'm for it. Amen. I told our church, I said, listen, I don't want our church full of preachers and full of young men and young ladies. I want everybody to be serving God. Find something to do. Johnny School class now available. Amen. I mean, this ain't the classifieds, but hey, preacher made it pretty clear tonight. Amen. If you want something to do for God, there you go. Amen. Fill the need. You are a missionary. The proclamation, you shall be witnesses unto me. This is not saying that we are to witness to Christ, but witnesses unto me means you are mine. When Jesus saved you, he bought you with a price, and he bought you, and he has sealed you, and he said, now you are not your own, ye are mine. I'm not Joshua Lee Hills. I'm the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his body. This is his vessel. He can do with it what he desires. How many times do we fight against that? We see the proclamation. We see the price. Witnesses. You shall be witnesses. The word witnesses, I don't know, I mean, if this is 100% true, because I don't know Hebrew and Greek, but they say a word that translates with witnesses is martyr. A martyr. Let's say this. It may not cost you your life in the sense of death, but it will cost you your life in the sense of your plans and your desires. Hey, 17, when I got saved, I wasn't sitting on the altar, oh, Lord, send me to Guatemala one day. I wasn't even sitting there, oh, Lord, let me be a preacher. Man, I failed my 12th grade year of high school, cheated my way through summer school to graduate. English class is the only class I couldn't pass. I repented about it later after I got my diploma, amen. They made me walk across the stage with an empty book. I said, this is hypocrisy. You can't make me do this. Well, this is false graduation. Amen. But I did it because I didn't want to look like the only one of 26 not graduating. Amen. It's what you do when you go to public school your whole life, and the last year you decide to go to Tennessee Temple. Amen. Burnt, fell. Don't ever do it. Amen. But you know what you have to learn is I couldn't write an essay. I couldn't write papers. I couldn't. And now I'm writing 4 a week. This wasn't what Joshua Hill wanted. But the Lord said, give me your life and watch me. And you know what the Lord tonight is asking you, and he's telling you, he's saying, give me your life and watch me. The price of this agenda, the place of agenda in Jerusalem, which is your county. in Judea, which is your state, and Samaria, which is the United States, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, we consider the world. The gospel was to go simultaneously throughout, to every place, to every creature. God may want you to be here in your county. But the missionaries that are here, what county is this? Washington County. The missionaries that are here in Washington County are as equal of importance as the missionaries in the uttermost part of the earth in Guatemala. Amen. You say, well, I'm comfortable in my county. But have you ever asked God, but Lord, would you allow me, or desire for me to go maybe to another part of Judea, of Tennessee, another part of the United States, or even another part of this uttermost part of the world? I'm not saying come down here and say, God, I'll go to this country, this state, or this city. I'm saying a simple, God, would you have me? If that's what you want, Lord, give me the grace to say yes. God may just simply want you to go to your neighbor. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes it's harder to go to your neighbor than it is to go to China. Amen. Sometimes it's harder to go to those family members than it is to think about leaving and going on a foreign trip. But the same God that gives grace will help you through the Holy Spirit to talk to those family members, to talk to those friends, to talk to those co-workers. You say this evening, you say, Brother Josh, it's true. The gospel was preached according to the Bible to all the earth, every creature. So why can't we? We have airplanes. I don't see the word Delta in the Bible. Amen. I don't see a vehicle with a motor in the Bible. I don't see Facebook and social media and all these realms of communication. I don't see none of that in the Bible. I've had pastors get, your prayer letter's 3 months late. I'm like, man, I'm glad you ain't depending on Paul to send you a letter, praise God. Yeah, I mean, you'd really be hurting. Imagine that. Amen. Tonight, I believe the biggest reason, I believe it's probably the only reason why the gospel is not being preached is because of the lack of Spirit-filled Christians. I'm not here before you to say, I'm not here to say that. If anything, this message has helped me, because I know that within me dwelleth no good thing. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ said, without Him I can do nothing. And that's why I know that I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit if I want to be used to fulfill the Great Commission. Preacher, you're coming.
It really does come down to that. We believe what the Word of God says, that He wants to use all of us. And then it comes down to that part, do you believe that He will use all of us? And truly He will. I've talked to so many folks, and they find themselves in a situation where they are reserved about doing something because they know their own ability. But remember, in a bus route, in a Sunday school class, a mission field, on a foreign field, all of it takes a yielded individual to let God work through you. Because if you were all that, you're probably not going to get to a spot where you even will yield yourself to Him. As long as we're full of self, we can't be full of the Spirit. And so I'm going to ask if you wouldn't mind just to do the simple introspection that He asked us to do. Lord, am I filled? Somebody asked me one time as the pastor. He said, well, are you filled with the Holy Spirit right now? I said, well, yeah. And you know, it's when you get it right down to you, it's well, yeah, I think so. And it's really quite simple. You get yourself right with the Lord. All the things you know are wrong, get them all confessed. Empty you of you, and then say, Lord, would you please fill me and use me? He wants to fill you. It's not like this mysterious formula that you have to have an upper level graduate degree to fill out. He wants to use you. And I challenge each of you to open yourself up and say, Lord, I pray you'd fill me. There's a verse that I read many times before I come to the pulpit in Luke chapter 11, back in my office. And in that part, the parable, he gives this verse 13 of Luke 11. It says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You say, why do you read that? Not every Sunday, but many Sundays. Why do you do that? Well, because just that realization that a father would do to his son. Yeah, I understand that. I've got a son. Even so, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? It's not hard. And I ask you to yield yourself to him. Would you bow your heads together? And our piano, our ladies are going to come and play something through. And I just want you to have a time of where you look in and say, Lord, am I living like Brother Josh asked? Am I living yielded to you? Am I living filled with the Spirit? Don't make it so hard that you need a doctorate in theology. It's none of that. Poor folks that never had any education have been filled with the Spirit and have others that are on graduate level work. They are as well. But that's not the requirement, and it's not a detriment either. But I ask you to clean your life out. Whatever's in there, it shouldn't be. Lord, forgive me. And then say, Lord, I yield myself to you. Fill me. And then maybe God is working on you. You know I've been praying so much for our bus ministry. We need somebody to come, and we need several somebodies, actually, to come and visit these routes and start some routes and reach some people and force us to figure out better ways to get them educated in the Sunday school and better ways to finagle people and get them around in different locations. We need to push for that. We need Sunday school teachers. We need adult workers. We need all of these things. And if the Lord's been knocking on your heart, let's get down to business. Father, bless us is our prayer in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together as they begin to play? If the Lord speaks to your heart, I invite you to come. Just because you come doesn't mean you're going to go teach a Sunday school class or get on a bus route, but maybe you want to come yield yourself to Christ. You're saved, but there's a time in our lives we need to get down to business. Say, Lord, I yield myself to you. I'm tired of just being a nominal, normal, everyday Christian. I want to be a yielded Christian, a Spirit-filled Christian. Christian that's willing to get on the battlefield for the Lord. Would you come? They're playing. Would you come? Folks, I do believe it's getting close to where we won't have any more time. Would you just get in the game? Get in the service of the Lord? Need somebody to pray with you, be glad to do that. If you just want to come pray for yourself and yield yourself to Christ, say, Lord, I want to be filled, I want to be used, I yield myself, I give myself to you. One last request, if you're here, you're not sure you're saved, as they keep on playing. Not sure you're saved. You heard all about that. I don't know what it means to be filled with the Spirit and all that, but I know what he was talking about when he said, I don't like God and I don't live for the Lord and I deny him. Maybe you're that way. But tonight you see your need for Jesus Christ. Would you step out and come if you need to be saved? They're going to play one more verse and that'll be it. If God's dealing with your heart, would you come? Thank you so much. You may look this way. I hope you've enjoyed being in church like I've enjoyed being in church. And I believe we've seen somebody that's yielded their life to Christ and wants to reach people with the gospel. And that's exactly the kind that we want to be partnered up with. And so, Brother Josh, thank you for being here. They're going to be back in the lobby. I'll ask his wife and family to slip on back there as well and be with him. Maybe you want to greet them. I had the privilege of going to eat with them earlier, and we had a good time together. I asked the kids what their favorite restaurants were, and you're never going to believe that McDonald's hits the top of the list. That's not where we took them, so you're all right. But one of them said Chick-fil-A, one of them said Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I know that they're going to be traveling along for a little bit. Miss Melissa's going to have a baby here before long. I'm hoping it's March 15th because that's my birthday, but their daughter's is March 12th, so I think she's hoping for that, and I think that's the due date. But they're going to be traveling some, going back home, home for them around Chattanooga area. But I hope if you've got some extra with you that you'll be a blessing to those children and let them know. My goal is when every child comes to Buffalo Ridge, everyone will go away thinking, that's my favorite church to go to. And it won't be because you give them a Bible. But if you give them money, then that might be what they think when they leave out of here. So they've already got Bibles. So be good to those children. They're precious, precious. And they were so well behaved. They had a wonderful testimony there at the restaurant. So hope you do that and be a blessing to Brother Josh and Melissa as well. Thank you for being in church. God bless you. You're dismissed.